you may not be as tuned into this if you're not as old as me, but I remember like how much buying a song that you liked has changed during my lifetime. Or owning a song, being able to listen to that song whenever you want. And so I remember there would be times when you'd be listening to the radio station and they would say like, hey, coming up, our top 10. And you'd know that there was a song in that top 10 that you really wanted to own. And so you'd have the play and record button ready to go, you know, as soon as the song began. But if you didn't even know what that song's name was, if there was a song you just heard a little bit of it on the radio, you're like, I think I really like that song. And then you're waiting for the DJ to say the name of that song at the end of the song and it doesn't happen. And you go, oh, why didn't they mention the name? I hate this station. You know, they never mention the name of the song. Now you just go, hey Siri, what's that song? And then Siri listens and tells you what the song is. And it's totally different now. And you can buy it right at that point, right? So I used to have to either record, you know, hit the play and record button and record the song. And sometimes that DJ would talk over the beginning of the song and you'd go, no, you know. Or you'd find, you know, if you want to not go the bootleg version of it and actually buy the song, you'd maybe find the ka-single. Remember those? Like the ka-single that for the hit song, cassette single. If not, maybe the CD single. Or if you had to buy the entire album, heaven forbid, you know you're not going to like the rest of those songs, but you want that one song. Now you can buy the individual songs instantly, right on your smartphone. What song is this, Siri? And then when they tell you, you just hit buy, and then you own it, like it's there. Or how about buying a book? Like, I mean, it's crazy how much that's changed during my lifetime. If you want a physical copy of a book now, you can have it within 2 days, or you can go to the store and buy it. But back in the old days or whatever, right, in my earlier, you know, even like when I was an adult, kind of the earlier days before Amazon Kindles existed, you would go to the store, try to find a book. Oh, they don't have it. Maybe call some other bookstores and try to track the book down. You could maybe special order it, but it's going to be a week or 2 weeks or something before that book comes in. And now you can have the book. You know, if you got Amazon Prime, it's going to be a couple of days. If you want it instantly, though, you can also read it instantly. Like in a couple of minutes, you can have just about any book you want on your phone or on your Kindle device or e-book reader or whatever the case may be. How about trying to get a hold of people, getting in touch with people? That's changed quite a bit. Earlier, you know, you'd leave voicemails on answering machines, right? That's a kind of a vintage thing now to have an answering machine. But that was such a common deal, right? You call somebody, they're not available. You leave a message on the answering machine, and they get back with you. But it's going to be maybe a couple of days, you know, in this couple-day process. Now you text someone, and you get real annoyed if you don't hear back with them from like within a half an hour. You know, it's like, what's going on? I texted you half an hour ago. That kind of thing. It's crazy how much the pace of how much quicker everything happens or how much more convenient that way so much of our life is. Traveling is mind-boggling when I think about how fast traveling is. To go from one end of the country to another used to take months, right? I mean, we have the Oregon Trail that is more than just an amazing video game from my childhood, but it's also was a harrowing journey for people that they would have to start at the, you know, in the spring and hope that by the autumn they had made it to their destination. There's so many hazards that could have come their way when they're trying to make it across the country. And then train travel happened and it was a lot easier and safer to get across the country. Now we hop on planes and you can be from one end of the coast to the other end of the coast in 4.5 hours. It's amazing how much faster things happen in our lives. So much of our lives, we've been able to hit the accelerator and just speed up what we're able to accomplish. And the people that innovated a lot of these things, the people that kind of came up with a lot of these ideas, their perception was, well, we're going to speed up, everything's going to happen quicker, and we're going to automate things, and that will enable people to have more leisure time. In the future, everyone's just going to be hanging out, just kind of like kicking back and relaxing because they're going to have all these innovations that have made their life so much more convenient. And we all know that that's not how things seem to work out. Everything else ended up happening faster too. We just packed in more and more things into our lives and we're very busy. And really, we get to a place in our lives where we have very little tolerance. We live in this Amazon Prime, fast lane, microwave kind of life where we have very little tolerance for waiting anymore. Waiting is like excruciating. It's difficult for us. And we find ourselves in situations that require patience, and we're actually ill-equipped for that because of how fast-paced everything is and how quickly we can have the things that we want now. We're not built to wait in line at the DMV, right? And that's kind of a silly example of kind of waiting in line for that. But we have other many, many areas of our lives where we require patience. Patience is required, and it's crucial in things like our relationships with each other. You know, if you're a parent, patience is a very big deal for that parenting relationship. It's vital for our spiritual life, that we have patience with the process that God has given us to grow spiritually, and that we actually have patience when it comes to God himself, that we need patience when it comes to, you know, praying for something and continuing to pray and to not give up with praying for things that we're asking God to accomplish and asking God to do. That is something where patience is required. We need patience. We all need patience. And the pace of our life is not built to help us and to encourage patience. It seems like it's more difficult to be patient because everything else happens so quickly in our lives. We're in a sermon series right now called Signs of Life. We're going through talking about the different fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, but collectively the Bible refers to it as the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. It's the kind of thing that comes from a relationship with God. The very beginning we talked, this is week four of the series, on the first week we talked about how the Apostle Paul says, you know, there are two ways that you can live your life. You can live your life according to the flesh. You can walk according to this fleshly part of yourself that still wants to disobey God and this part of ourselves that we do battle with. Or you can live out of the Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit. And he says the deeds of the flesh are, this is this list of really destructive, negative things in our lives, but the deeds of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. And he goes through and gives all these fruits, these positive things that collectively come from this relationship with God. It is fruit. It is what our life produces when we are connected with God. And so we're individually looking at this list of fruits that he mentions, and today is the fourth week, and today we're talking about patience. And literally, in the Greek, the word that gets translated patience is this word makrothumia, which means long-tempered, literally long-tempered. They're able to put up with trouble or difficulty for an extended period of time without kind of losing it, right, without blowing up. It's to even suffer joyfully. Tim Keller talks about patience in his book on the Gospel of Mark, and he says this, patience is love for the long haul. It is bearing up under difficult circumstances without giving up or giving in to bitterness. Patience means working when gratification is delayed. It means taking what life offers, even if it means suffering, without lashing out. And when you're in a situation that you're troubled over, or when there's a delay or pressure on you that something's not happening, or something's not happening that you want to happen, there's always a temptation to come to the end of your patience. And you may well have lost your patience before you're even aware of it. That patience, love for the long haul, bearing up under difficult situations or difficult circumstances, and sticking with it. We need that. Each and every one of us in this room need more of that, what we're talking about today, patience. We need that. The most extended passage of Scripture that kind of goes into depth about patience and talks about it is in James chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, that's where we'll be this morning, James chapter 5. It'll also be on the screen behind me, but if you have your physical Bible with you, I encourage you to look that up. James chapter 5, starting in verse 7, says this, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." Here, James is talking to this group of Christians that are dealing with all kinds of negative situations, dealing with suffering, dealing with persecution for the sake of their faith. And he tells them, be patient, specifically in this context, but there's so much we can learn about patience if we kind of look at the principles that are here in this text. when it comes to suffering for the sake of Christ, but also just broader application in general, patience that is needed. And he wraps up talking about the Lord being compassionate and merciful, and then talks about the Lord delaying his coming, kind of at the beginning, that be patient until the coming of the Lord. There's this idea that Christ is going to return, that we as Christians believe that we await Christ coming as the king and as the righteous judge and coming to make things right and coming to correct things and even coming as the judge. And the fact that he has not done that yet is an example of the Lord's patience, that God is patient, that he's actually being compassionate. 2 Peter 3 talks about that as the patience of God is salvation. It's a compassionate act of God that he has been waiting for 2,000 years until Christ returns, that he's waiting for more and more people to come to him. And so we have the example of God and his patience, and that helps us learn about patience ourselves, that we see God and his patience, that is compassionate and loving act. Can we have just a fraction of that in the way that we practice patience with the people or circumstances in our own lives? He says, don't grumble. Verse 9, don't grumble against one another. That's really the temptation. When we're struggling with being patient, we're either struggling with giving up or just grumbling, just venting the frustration that builds up when we're waiting and waiting and waiting on a person or on a circumstance, and we grow impatient. We either lose it, kind of blow our stack, or we give up. We just say, I'm not going to care about that anymore, or that person anymore. He gives several examples, three examples, in fact. There's a farmer. He says the farmer has to deal with the growing season, and he's writing to people this kind of idea of the early rains and the late rains, that the growing season for the farmer is entirely determined by the rains, And then so when the farmers in this climate would sow the seed, there would be the early rain that would help that seed take root and germinate, and then the late rain that would help reach the plant maturity. But both those things determined the crop, and this was a day before irrigation and all that, and there wasn't, at least on the scale that we see it today, the crop was entirely determined by the timetable of the seasons. There wasn't anything the farmer could do to speed that up or slow it down. He was just waiting. There's a lot of waiting involved in farming in this way during this time. The second example is the prophets. These are the prophets. Think about what a prophet would do during these times. The Old Testament times, he would speak these words, God says this is going to happen, or this is a message from God, and then he's out there kind of on his own in front of a group of people, and they're like, all right, let's see. Let's see if God does what you said he's going to do. And there's this idea of waiting for the fulfillment of God's word being spoken through this person, and them saying, God says this, this is going to happen. You got to turn back towards him. You think about the Old Testament prophets and those difficult messages that they had to deliver to God's people. He says, think about the prophets. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. He says, we should consider them, consider those people and their lives. And then he says, he talks about Job, and if you know the story of Job, that Job suffered all of these negative things, that he was tested and went through, the loss of everything he held dear, and his own health and everything, like people in his lives and all of his wealth and everything, and had to patiently wait. And we see that he complained, that he was like calling out to God, saying, God, why is this happening? But he's held up as an example of steadfastness, right? That he didn't give up on God. He questioned God, but he continued, and God ended up blessing him in the end. When I was thinking about this idea of patience and what I was going to share with you this morning, a video clip came to mind that I want to show you. This is actually a movie preview for a movie that's coming out soon, but I think it has it'll help us think and wrap our minds around the idea of patience and how much we need it at different times in our lives. And I think you'll identify with the character in the video and the frustration of growing impatient. So let's take a look at this video on the screen behind me.
Coming through.
This is Officer McCorn. We got a 1031.
I got this. What?
I need you to run a plate.
Flash is the fastest guy in there.
He can run the plate like that.
Wait. They're all slots?
What
Are you saying that because he's a sloth, he can't be fast?
Flash, flash, 100-yard dash. Buddy, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Officer Judy Hopp, CPD, how are you?
I am doing
fine.
Well, what?
Hang in there.
Can I do?
Well, I was hoping you could run a
for you.
Well, I was hoping you
today.
Well, I was hoping you could run a plate for us. We are in a really big hurry.
What's the plate?
29T...
Number.
29THD03.
29T...
HD03.
H...
D03.
D...
Mm-hmm. 03.
Hey, Flash, want to hear a joke?
No!
Sure.
Okay. What do you call a three-humped camel?
I don't know.
Pregnant.
Yes, very funny, very funny. Can we please just focus on the
time? Hey.
Wait.
Priscilla.
Oh, no!
Yes? Flash?
What do
no.
you call
a three-humped camel pregnant? Okay, great, we got it. Please jump. Hurry, we gotta beat the rush hour in. It's night!
The reason why we grow impatient is because we are on a different timetable. Our expectations of how long something should take and how long something actually takes. The difference between our expectation and what actually happens is the difference between us being patient or impatient. You think about this in cultures where we've got, if you've been to the developing world at places like Africa or South America, different places, Central America, that the timetable's totally different there. And I remember going to church in the village in Africa where our ministry partnership is, the New Life Child Development Project, and just thinking like, well, what time does church start? And it was almost like I asked a silly question. It was like kind of a range of time, and we would show up, but the service kind of was just going, but the adults didn't show up until like an hour later, and the service itself was like 3 hours long, and it doesn't matter if you're late because everyone's kind of late, and if you think we start late around here, you haven't seen anything like what you see in places like, you know, Africa and then other places in the developing world. And you hear it so often. There's phrases like, well, this is Africa, you know, and just kind of where people make statements to excuse timing and things like that. And you hear that enough, and you hear that example enough that maybe it's us that's like our timetables. We're just a little too frantic and overly scheduled. But the difference between your time frame and your expectation of how long something should take and what it actually takes is where that impatience comes from. That's where we grow impatient. The farmer example we go back to that we just read a few moments ago, the farmer is entirely on God's schedule as far as how long something is going to take, right? God knows what's going on. God needs to send the rain for the farmer, right? That's kind of God's business there, and he is not on his own timetable. The season determines what he does, what he's able to do, and there's so much that's out of his control, just entirely determined upon what God brings his way, the early rain and the late rain. There's a story in the Bible of a healing that takes place, and we're not going to turn there in your Bibles. I want to reference this a little bit. It's in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5. But Jesus is traveling through. This is during the time of his ministry where he is this huge healing ministry. He's going out and he's healing all these people. And he's developing this great following and a great crowd. And he crosses across the Sea of Galilee and he gets to the other side of the where he's traveling. And there's this big crowd that's gathering around Jesus. And he's standing kind of along the coastline. Then one of the rulers of the synagogue, a man named Jairus, comes up to Jesus. And there's this scene that happens. The man falls at his feet, and he is overcome with emotion, and he tells Jesus his request. He's like, I need help. And here's the words that the scripture records for us in Mark chapter 5. My little daughter is at the point of death. My little girl's dying, Jesus. She's about to die right now. If you can heal her, I know I've heard these things about you. Please come and heal my daughter. And Jesus goes with him. He says, come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. He goes and goes on with this synagogue ruler. This is someone of authority. This is someone that would have been well known, someone that was thought highly of in this community. And he's begging Jesus, please heal my daughter. She's going to die if we can't do something. She's at the point of death right now. When I came here, she was about to die. Please heal her. So Jesus goes with him, and they begin to walk together. And as they're walking, there's this giant crowd. And time is of the essence. This is an urgent matter. Jesus, if you don't get there, she's going to die. We got to get there. And I imagine they're moving pretty quickly, but there's this big crowd. And so you're moving at the speed of the crowd. And as they're going, there's this woman who has a chronic health condition that for 12 years, she had had this discharge of blood, the scripture tells us, and had suffered under all these different treatments, had never found healing. But she thought to herself, if I can just touch the edge of Jesus' garment, if I can just touch the edge of his cloak, I've heard these things about Jesus. I know what he's capable of. I've heard stories and met people who have been healed by Jesus, perhaps. If I can just touch him, he can heal me. He has that kind of power. And so this crowd is moving. Time is of the essence, and they're trying to get there. And Jesus feels power leave him, we're told in Mark. He feels that power has left him, and he just stops. The parade stops. He says, Who touched my garments? And the disciples are just overcome. They don't even know what to make of Jesus' question. They're like, everybody, Jesus? There's a giant crowd. Like, everyone, we're trying to get there. The whole crowd is around you. The crowd is pressing on you, and you ask this question. Plus, we're in a hurry, Jesus. Time is of the essence. Remember, if we don't make it here, the consequences of us delaying are severe. Jesus, we've got to move. And he looked around. And the woman is afraid, and there's this moment where everything stops, and there's this conversation that Jesus has with this woman, and she says, yeah, it was me. She owns up to the fact that she was the one who touched his garment. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. And the Bible tells us that while he was saying that, while he was still speaking, someone comes up to the leader of the synagogue, and he says, it's too late. Your daughter's dead. I'm sorry to tell you, why trouble the teacher any further? Jesus says he's having this conversation. He overhears this conversation between the servant or the messenger and Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. And he says, do not fear, only believe. And they make their way to his home. And instead of Jesus healing this little girl from being at the point of death, he goes above and beyond and reaches down and heals her from death itself. He resurrects her. And we have this incredible story from the Bible where Jesus compassionately goes in here and he raises her not just from sickness but from death itself and gives her life. And there's this incredible testimony of the power of Jesus. Because the mindset of everybody is like, we have to hurry because if we don't make it in time, she's going to die. And there's no one that can do anything for her after she dies. That she'll be beyond the grasp of any help at that point. We've got to do something. We've got to hurry. And Jesus, on his own timetable, knowing what his plan is, slows the whole parade down, has this other encounter with this woman, and heals her from this chronic condition that she'd suffered with for more than 10 years. And heals this girl, not just from the sickness, but from death itself, and raises her to life. And we have this story, and the way that this must have impacted these individuals in this story must have been something that they carried with them to the day of their death. Jesus had a bigger plan, and so his time frame was different. His plan was more than a healing. His plan was resurrection. We need to know that when God's time frame is different from the time frame in our head, that we can trust God. That God's got it all under control. He knows the circumstances. He knows what we need. He knows where we're at. God has a plan. We can trust him. God loves us. We have a God who loves us more than anybody else who loves us, who knows exactly what we need, and he is trustworthy. And patience comes from a deep sense of knowing that about God, that he is good, he is trustworthy, we can trust him, he can handle whatever we're dealing with. And so we need patience. We need patience with the people in our lives. We need patience with the process of spiritual growth. We need patience in our lives, and it comes from this the fruit of the Spirit, and it comes from this deep sense of trust in God. So the next time you feel impatient, next time you're waiting in line, next time you're in traffic, next time you have kids that want to show you something and you know what it is, do I really need to see that? And you know they want to jump and show you something or whatever it is. Or next time you have somebody who wants to tell you a story that you know they already told you, and you're trying to be polite and you kind of feel like you're in a rush, but you're going to listen to that story and you're feeling impatient in that moment. Remember, patience builds character. Patience is good for you. You need patience in your life. And so many other things in your life are instant gratification. And so much of that is not good for our soul. It's not good for our character. And so use those moments when you would maybe rather be doing something else, but you need to practice patience. Your time frame doesn't match up with the time frame of what's happening. Use that time to practice that, to know that patience is good for you. Right? To know that you can kind of rest in God knowing what your situation is and take that time to build that character and to build that patience. We need that. But let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this, Lord, this scripture about patience and these examples from the farmer and Job and the prophets and all of that, Lord. We pray that we would be people of character, people who are patient, people who have an understanding of your plan, and that we know that you are in control, that you have what we need. Lord, we can trust you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people of patience and people of character. And thank you for the story from your word. Thank you that you have a plan, that you are in control, that you are good, that you love us, that we can trust you, and because of that, we can be patient. So Lord, thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.